the Oxygen Community Studios on this Fruit Tuesday. Happy Fruit Tuesday to everybody out there.
Fruit Tuesday.
It's not a Friday. It's not a Tuesday. It's a fruit.
On this Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
I think it's Friday, but I realize it's not. I'm going to change it mid-sentence.
You know, my team mom tendencies make me feel guilty for not having fruit on hand today.
No, that's okay.
Well, Do you think you should have went with Friday and then just like, oh, yeah, man, that was terrible.
Really?
Or just call it and be like, just, guys, it's Friday. I don't know what y'all are talking about. We're off tomorrow.
Good afternoon on this Friday. Oh, man, it's not Friday. What an idiot I am.
Instead of
creating a new day of the week.
Do I insult all of your intelligence if I tell you that I didn't think anybody would notice? Did you find that insulting to your intelligence?
Yes. Do you think we're not listening to the start of the show?
Yeah, everybody's listening to you. You got the whole valley's attention.
What else are we doing?
I don't know. I just assumed
the best part of the show. Of course, we're listening.
I assumed Jordan was doing something on the computer, and Sarah was working on an update,
and that I'm just not smart enough to realize.
Well, you don't have your headphones in yet. You're getting yourself settled into the show, right? You're not. I just kind of assumed I had the microphone to myself, and nobody was really paying attention to the fact that I changed
on this Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
It's a Fruit Tuesday.
It's not a Manic Monday. It's a Fruit Tuesday here on the Burns and Gambo
Show. Manic Monday.
Let's talk about, first, before we tell you about Dennis Smith Jr. And Gambo's news about that, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, is reporting that the Arizona Cardinals are going to hire Broncos defensive backs coach Marcus Robertson for the same position. One can only assume Vance Joseph brought him with him as part of his hire as defensive coordinator. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's safe to assume. But that's what Ian Rappaport is reporting now. Marcus Robertson is going to be hired by the Cardinals. So they have a defensive backs coach. They don't have an offensive coordinator.
Don't need one. Who needs an offensive coordinator?
Who needs it?
It's like an appendix. Marcus Robertson played in this league for the Titans for 9 years, played for Seattle, you know, for a year. So he was, he did have extensive time playing, played at Iowa State. Then in the NFL, was drafted by the Oilers and played there for a while. Coaching career is pretty extensive, to be honest with you. I mean, got into coaching in 2007. He's been with Tennessee and the Lions and the Raiders and the Broncos, mainly in the secondary and as a defensive backs coach, but two-time All-Pro player as a player. So he brings playing experience, and he brings about 11 years of coaching experience.
Okay.
So looks like a guy that's a good experienced guy, and obviously Vance Joseph needs to be able to bring some guys in that he's comfortable with, so it makes a lot of sense.
More on him in a moment. Let's talk about Dennis Smith Jr., the Woj bomb that Gambo successfully defused last night. The Woj bomb had it that Dennis Smith Jr. was on the verge of being traded, and that the Mavericks were talking to the Orlando Magic and the Phoenix Suns about trading their second-year point guard, and you defused the Woj bomb last night, at least as it relates to the Phoenix Suns.
Listen, we have a lot of respect for him. He does a great job nationally, and I do have a lot of respect for the guy. He was just incorrect on the Suns' part of this. He may be right on the Orlando part, and Detroit might be a fit for him, but he was incorrect on the Suns having any interest. The Suns have no interest in Dennis Smith, like zero. I mean, they don't want him. They never did want him. He's been available for a while. I checked on this 6 weeks ago when I got wind from somebody that was, at a Dallas game in Dallas, said, hey, Dennis Smith is available. Would the Suns have any interest? And I checked on it, and the Suns didn't have interest then. They don't have interest now, and it's an interesting name because he was a top 10 pick in the draft from a year ago. But no, there is no interest, and they never did. I mean, he's just not the right fit for them. He's not the type of player they want. So, again, not, this isn't a thing, people turn this into a me against Woj thing. It's just, and he might be right on the fact that Orlando's interested, but the Phoenix Suns are not interested in Dennis Smith Jr.
And a couple of others have followed your lead on that reporting. AZ Central reported the same thing this morning. Reports out of Dallas basically have said the same thing. Yes on Orlando, no on Phoenix. I don't think it's a you versus Woj versus thing. I suspect that what might have happened here is that Dallas leaked out some of the information, and in trying to create a more robust market for Dennis Smith Jr., they might have included a team like Phoenix that we all know is desperate for a point guard, would very much like to have a point guard added to their roster. And so maybe Phoenix's name got thrown in there to try to convince other suitors that there were a lot of suitors for Dennis Smith, so you better come with a great offer. Shams Charania from Stadium said, look, the Mavs aren't going to just give this guy away.
Donnie Nelson, Mark Cuban, these guys are going to be very, very cautious with the trade. This is the guy that they drafted with the number 9th overall pick after one of the worst seasons of their franchise history in 2017. So whatever they get, whether it's a package of young players, picks, a veteran who can help them compete right now alongside Luka Doncic, I think they're going to be very cautious.
But it's interesting. Something interesting is going on with the Suns right now. And I'm not saying for a second, and please do not mistake me for saying, hey, the Suns are set at point guard. No one's saying that. But the way D'Anthony Melton has played the last few games and in the month of January in general, doesn't it feel to you like the point guard situation isn't as pressing as it was maybe a month ago?
I think it's
maybe
fair
two
to
months
say,
ago.
I want to expand that out because I think you're on to something. I think it's fair to say that they're developing D'Anthony Melton. The kid's 20 years old. He's 20. Okay, it was a second round pick that got traded here. What's fair to say is that they are developing him. You look at his minutes, 32 minutes against Denver, 25 against Dallas, 31 against Sacramento, 26 against Charlotte, 23 against Philly, 27 against Golden State, 30 against... They're developing him. They're developing him into a point guard. And obviously he had his best assist game the other night with 10. His defense has been fantastic. I mean, he's a terrific defensive player. He's big and strong. I mean, he's big. He's a 6'4 guard, and he's strong, and he's a good defensive player, and he doesn't have to worry about shooting. I mean, he went 0 for 7 from the field the other night. So, it's not about his field goal percentage.
Well, he went 0 for 7, and he played a great game the other night.
Played a great game. 10 assists. He had 4 steals. He had a block shot.
What he did to Jamal Murray? He didn't score. He scored. He didn't make a basket, and he still impacted that basketball game in many ways.
There's two things I'll say. I don't think this prevents Phoenix from going out there and looking for a starting point guard, because I don't think that he's a starting point guard.
Fair.
But I think, and I said this about both of these guys, if they could develop one of these guys to be a good backup in this league, then that's a home run. If you can get a good, with the 46th pick in the draft, if you get a guy who could be a good backup in this league, that's a home run. But right now he's playing and this is the thing about going to get just anybody. Just develop D'Anthony Melton. I'd rather develop him than just go get anybody because he's got some potential. He's super raw. He's super young. But you could see the talent that's there. You could see him playing hard. And the point you're making is you're right. They are in a better shape now in January than they were in November.
And doesn't that allow them more patience?
Yes.
In how they do this?
Absolutely. I mean,
there was a time in the middle of November where we were freaking out, desperate for a point guard. Like, just anybody. Get anybody. Anybody who can kind of halfway do it. Get him in here and give him the keys and have him do it, because this team needs one so bad. It doesn't feel like that anymore. And because of that, it doesn't put pressure on the Suns from the media or the fans to go out and make a bad deal. Right? That pressure, it's kind of gone now. And it's not just because of D'Anthony Melton. It's also because of Point Book and how he's played as a facilitator. That pressure to, you got to go get a point guard right now, it's kind of dissipated. And that's good, because that pressure could have forced the Suns into doing something that was a big mistake.
And I think the patience was fantastic, because there were moves that they could have made. They could have given up draft picks and things to go get a player that, that wasn't worth. Unless you're getting a player that was going to be a part of your future, there was no reason to go get some point guard that was just going to be a temporary guy here. Continue to work on developing the guys you have. And the guy they're working on the most is D'Anthony Melton, a kid 6'4", 200 pounds. And he's playing great defense, and he doesn't need to score because of all the scores that they have on the court right now.
Devin Booker rocking the headband tonight.
Has he got the headband on?
The headband on. Look at him right there. He is right there.
What the heck?
Devin Booker rocking the white headband with the purple road jerseys. Look at that.
Suns have won. They just put this stat up. The Suns have won 9 of 11 in this building. 9 of the last 11.
They do always seem to have success there, now that you mentioned that. I didn't put a number to it, but they do seem to do very well there. Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? You should. You can just subscribe on your iPhone or your Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast. It's brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. The interview process continues to roll on. What exactly is taking the Cardinals so long to hire a new offensive coordinator? And then the real question, does it even really matter? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. Jim Bob Cooter is what we learned today. We also learned that Mike McCoy is getting a interview for an offensive coordinator's position with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow. Say what? Say what?
Damn.
Really?
Getting fired in the middle of the season in back-to-back years isn't kind of a deal killer?
What?
Nothing out there. Sometimes I think that maybe, and this just goes through my mind, this is just, there's a lot of good old boys network stuff with the NFL. And
yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna bring you in for an interview. I have no intention of hiring you, but just if I bring you in for an interview, maybe it'll help the shows that you're still interviewing.
Maybe. Or maybe.
I mean, that stuff happens.
Oh, you bet it happens.
That happens.
Especially like the coach could call, Tom Coughlin and say, hey, look, I'm having a hard time kind of getting my name out there.
Just give me an interview.
Give me an interview.
Even though I'm not going to get the job.
As a favor for you,
give me an interview.
Professional courtesy, I'll give you an interview.
Yeah.
Even though I have absolutely no intention of hiring.
Keep my name out there. Keep me fresh.
Yeah, that stuff happens. There's no doubt about that. Let's work backwards on this one. We'll talk about Jim Bob Cooter in a second.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your, I think, very accurate assertion that, and we don't mean to saddle the new offensive coordinator, whoever he may be, with this. But let's your assertion right out of the chutes that it just might not matter that much who the offensive coordinator is.
It just doesn't matter.
It's just not as relevant as it once was in a traditional hierarchy in the NFL with what the Cardinals are doing right now.
The other hires they've made are more important to them. The offensive line coach was a more important hire to them in getting Kugler than the offensive coordinator is going to be. The defensive coordinator was a more important hire. And in some ways, the running backs coach was a more important hire than the offensive coordinator. And that's just the truth. And I know it goes against conventional wisdom and the hierarchy chart that we talked about. But the offensive coordinator position for the Arizona Cardinals is not as important as some of the other hires that they've already made, which seem like, when you look at the, offensive coordinator is, it's like a offensive coordinator is like a king. And offensive line coach is like a nine of spades. And running backs coach is like an eight of clubs. And that's how it goes, right? But it's with the Cardinals, it's not the offensive coordinator is not the king or the ace. It's not. These other positions to them are more important. The offensive line coach, the hiring of Kugler, was a more important hire than whoever it is that they hire for offensive coordinator.
Yeah. There was a report a couple days ago, and in some ways I think it's kind of been confirmed with the news coming out of New York. There was a report a couple days ago that the Baylor coach, Matt Rhule, turned down the Jets job because he was not going to have the opportunity to choose his own staff. And in a way, I think that report was confirmed when it was reported that Greg Williams is going to get the defensive coordinator job and was going to get the Jets DC job no matter what. Who they hired at head coach. Mm-hmm. And I think that sort of out of order way of thinking is exactly what's going on here with
order.
The Cardinals. For some organizations and in some teams, yeah, because, I mean, in some ways, that's the Jets' way of saying it didn't matter who our head coach was going to be. This guy was going to be our defensive coordinator.
Right. No matter who the head coach is.
Because we want him that bad.
And that's why Adam Gase was looking so crazy at his press conference yesterday. He must have found out about a minute before. Oh, by the way, that psychopath Greg Williams, we just hired him to be the defensive coordinator. And that's why Gase's eyes were like, is he here?
Is he up?
Is he over there?
Is he down? Is he
is
to
he
the
over
left?
There?
Is he to the right?
Is he on top of the screen?
Is he at my 10 o'clock? Is he at my 12
table?
O'clock?
Did he just ask that question?
Is he behind me?
Is he behind that reporter? That cracked you up when I said that.
So funny. Well, just because it makes sense when you're saying it. In my mind, I'm looking at Gase's eyes. Do that bad.
And he just found
crazy
out a minute.
Stuff
just found out a minute ago. They signed the psycho Greg Williams to be the defensive coordinator, and you have no say in it. He's your defensive coordinator.
Is he behind me? Does he have a knife? Is he
like
in
it.
Front of me? Does he have a gun?
He once threatened to punch me in the nose.
Is he to my right? Does he have a baseball bat? Is he to my left? And he has a rope. Where is he? Where is Greg Williams? That was really funny. It is. It's not every team's going to do it like this, and maybe one day, 5 years from now, it'll kind of go back to the norm where the head coach is hired and he gets to choose a defensive coordinator and an offensive coordinator, and then those guys get to choose who works under them, and that's how it is. But just the mere order of these hirings supports your theory that in some ways it doesn't matter who the OC is. It was clearly more of a priority for them to get the O-line coach than it was the OC.
It is. It
clearly.
Was. It was. And that's why, you know, listen, they're doing they're going through the process right now. They're doing their homework on these guys. But the most important hires that they had to make have already been made.
They've already
been made. So the offensive coordinator, in theory, is a very important position, but not to the Cardinals. Now, it's not like they're going to defer and not hire one. They will hire one.
No, and it's
but
not
it
like...
it doesn't mean as much as some of these other hires.
And it doesn't mean like the offensive coordinator is going to now answer to the offensive line coach. But you can see why if you're, and I don't even know if he feels this way, John DeFilippo, you can see if he walks into that job interview and he learns more about the job. Well, we've already hired an O-line coach. We've already hired a running backs coach. You can see why he might walk out of that interview and go, well, that's not what I want.
Well, look at Vance Joseph. The Cardinals just hired a defensive backs coach that in Marcus Robertson, who is a Vance Joseph guy, came from Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So Vance is the defensive coordinator, and he's probably got a little bit of a say in some of the hires for the guys that are going to be working under him. It's not going to be that way with the offensive coordinator.
Right. Now, that might work for John DeFilippo. We had Courtney Cronin on earlier. She's the ESPN reporter who covers the Vikings. And she said not calling plays probably doesn't matter that much to DeFilippo.
I don't think that calling plays is necessarily the end-all, be-all for him. Would he be able to do it in Jacksonville? Yeah, but do you want to potentially go to Jacksonville in what could be a one-year situation and have to uproot your life again? I mean, that to me is the downside of that job. But, you know, if he does get the job in Arizona, no, he's not calling plays, but he gets to do what he's been really, really good at throughout his career, which is developing young quarterback talent.
She expounded on that idea.
John is a quarterback guy. I mean, he was a quarterback himself. That's a position he understands best. He's worked with them throughout his career. You know, 12 years in the NFL kind of speaks for itself. So I think that that's something that, you know, really can't be ignored.
Jim Bob Cooter, I looked up his numbers. They did some nice things when he was the OC in Detroit.
He was okay.
Passing offense was good. Rushing offense wasn't that great.
Look at her point on like the Jaguars job. Like you don't like if you come here, you would think at least you have some stability. I just hired a new coach. Probably going to give him a few years. I know they just blew out a coach after 1 year, but I can't imagine them doing that 2 years in a row. You would think that there's a chance to have a little bit of stability for a few years. Usually, like most of the time that happens. The Jacksonville situation could be very interesting because you might go there and uproot your family, and then all of a sudden a year later you're gone.
The Cardinals were to hire an offensive coordinator with the last name Cooter. I don't know if I'd ever be able to get Dukes of Hazzard out of my mind. I'm sorry.
Breaker one. Might be crazy, but I ain't dumb. Crazy Cooter coming at you.
Daisy Dukes.
We need it. We need this.
Daisy Dukes.
I swear to God, that was absolutely, undeniably one of my favorite television shows
Dukes
as
Hazzard?
A kid growing up. Oh, my God. I love the Dukes of Hazzard.
For the girl?
No. It was cool. It was cars, and it was jumping over lakes, and Bo and Luke Duke, and
that show
Crazy
never,
Uncle Jesse, and Boss Hogg. And
never make it on television today.
Oh, of course not.
Could never make it on
television.
No,
of course not.
A lot of those shows, Archie Bunker.
Well,
All in the Family.
No, it could.
You could never make it on television.
Not
today.
On basic television, you know. Although I don't know, it might.
What?
Isn't
you
there an Archie
are a
remake?
No
Isn't
way
there
that
an Archie
can make
remake
it
on right now?
There is not.
I'm pretty certain there is.
It's got to be fairly on network television or on some like cable channel. Cable, could do it.
I think it's the CW.
Okay.
I didn't watch Dukes of Hazzard, but didn't they fly like the Confederate flag around the whole time?
They had it painted on top of the roof of the car of the General Lee. Yes.
Show's not making it on television today.
Network television, maybe not, but cable television, sure. Are you kidding me? The show I just got done binge watching with a decision maker, I'm like, they can put that on television?
What was it?
It was called The Americans. And some of the scenes in that were... That you, even on like basic cable, you can put that on basic cable these days. Wow, it's impressive.
I'm watching The Man in the High Castle right now.
It's supposed to be very
I'm
good.
On the third season. The Man in the High Castle.
Sarah's 27
episodes. We were in the Miami airport overnight.
It's like imagining the world if Hitler if Germany had won in World War II.
Yeah.
And what the world looks like.
Fascinating.
It's like a fictional.
Germany won the war.
Okay. Some nice light before bed television.
No, it's a fantastic show, but it's Germany's won the war. It's the Third Reich. The thousand years of the Third German. So it's in America. It takes place in America, but Germany won the war.
It's got nothing on the Dukes of Hazzard. Nothing. For the time being, he's NFL bound. How exactly will the inclusion of Kyler Murray impact the NFL draft this spring, and how does that impact the Cardinals? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Ah, so much for that new defensive identity. The Suns are down to the Pacers 36-19 with 4 seconds to go in the first quarter. You know what? Let's make it 38. Why not? Step-back jumper as the buzzer goes off. Sure, let's make it 38. Why not?
You know, we've talked about starting Kelly Oubre.
Yeah.
To get that energy going early. We have talked about it.
We have talked about it, and they have yet to do it. Slow start for the Phoenix Suns, down 38-19 at the end of the first quarter. Coverage of this game on ESPN 620. Devin Booker back in the starting lineup.
It's that Booker guy, man. He's got to go to the bench.
One step forward and two steps back. Your Phoenix Suns. Still excited about the way they've played lately, but and the Pacers.
Get them like 15 minutes a game.
They put up the graphic. They do have the league's best record since December 1st, but the Suns not a very good start so far. Kyler Murray, and credit to Jordan Bird, our very good producer on the other side of the glass. He found the Deion Sanders soundbite on SportsCenter yesterday.
Okay.
Deion Sanders, when talking about Kyler Murray, Deion Sanders, a guy who's done both, did both at the same time.
Yeah.
Was asked.
Played for the Reds, the Braves, the Yankees.
Yep. If you were Kyler Murray, what would you do?
If I was in his shoes, I'm picking up the baseball bat, and I'm not looking back.
Why?
Because that's just for me. Like, I sometimes I still have regret that I didn't give it more. But, you know, I got a gold jacket in the closet. I'm straight. You know, but I wish I would have given it more. But for Kyler, that's tough at his position. And I don't think he realized the ridicule that you go through once you declare and say, I'm going to be a football player. Now people start talking about your height, your size, what you can't do. He hadn't dealt with that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could do whatever he wants to do. He's that kind of athlete.
This is interesting because I think either way you're going to have the chance to not have any regrets when you're so good at two things is probably slim. You didn't want to be a sports radio guy. You didn't want to be a talk show host. You initially went to college to be what?
TV sportscaster.
TV sportscaster.
Yeah.
Any regrets?
No.
No?
No. I mean,
didn't you want to call games?
No, you know what? I only wanted to do that for about a year. And no, I'm very
okay. Before
I'm
you did
very
that, was
happy
it?
How my career turned out.
Okay.
Very happy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you go to school for law or something like
that?
Well,
for a semester, I was pre-law at U of A.
Pre-law at U of A
for a semester, and
okay,
then
no regrets that you didn't end up becoming a lawyer.
No, no,
okay.
None. None. Were you looking for a different answer? Did you think I was going to give you a different answer?
I think it's fair to say that a lot of people had, like, you know, like, okay, my daughter right now, she wanted to be a dentist. Well, now I think she wants to be a nurse. And my daughter Gabby just wants to be a pharmacist. So she kind of knows what she wants to do. But I think you go back and forth on decision. I don't think this is just a Kyler Murray thing. I think there's a lot of people out there that say, I wonder if I would have happened if I would have chosen a different path.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened if I went, if I did this instead of that? Right, you never know.
Sure, no. Okay.
There's a lot of people that probably question, or because Deion said, "I still have regrets." Well, you trust me, you're not the only one that has regrets about the way your career's turned out.
If that's what you're asking, then I will tell you. When I was a pre-law major down at U of A, back in 1989, and I was ditching one of my pre-law classes when I was a freshman because I didn't feel like going. And as I sat there not going to my class, I thought, well, geez, if I don't want to go to this class when I'm 19, I'm not going to want to go to work when I'm 45. So I better come up with something else that I want to do, because I don't even want to go to the class to learn how to be a lawyer, let alone be a lawyer. And that's nothing against lawyers. It's just where I was when I was 19. So I sat there and I thought, what do I want to do? I either want to be a sportscaster or I want to be a movie director.
Right.
Now, if I'm going to sit there and say I don't sometimes wonder what my life would have been like if I had decided to go be a movie director, which is I'm just as equally passionate about as I am sports.
Okay.
Yes,
that was where I was going.
I would tell you that's that might be the Kyler Murray type decision he's looking at right now.
Probably going to have regrets either way. If he goes and has a good career in football, he's always going to wonder what would have happened if I would have played baseball. If he goes to baseball and has a good career, he's going to wonder what would have happened if I would have played football. If he fails in one of them, he's going to wonder, oh, what would have happened if I would have picked this? The chances of him not looking back in 10 years and having questions about what would have happened if I would have committed to the other sport is zero. The chances are very high that he's going to look back at some point in his life and wonder what would have happened if I would have chose this sport over that sport.
Todd McShay of ESPN released his big board, his updated big board for the 2019 NFL draft. His top 10 players are all defensive players. That's kind of interesting. Note number one, the first quarterback is also the first offensive player on his big board. It's Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Kyler Murray is on the list. 24. Kyler Murray is on his big board at number 24. Now, keep this in mind. I Googled McShay's big board from exactly 1 year ago. His big board that he came out with when the deadline for underclassmen had come and gone.
And tell everybody where Baker Mayfield was.
19th.
And what number quarterback was he?
Fourth. He was the fourth best quarterback, and he was number 19 on the big board.
And he moved from, and so from this time last year. He moved up from 19th on the big board to number one on the big
board. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all big board. It's just one guy's big board. I think our audience understands that, understands just one guy and his opinion. But, yeah, so keep that context in mind when talking about Kyler Murray. Yeah, he's just 24 now. Where is he going to be after the scouting combine? Where is he going to be after a couple of pro days? Where is he going to be after McShay calls around and some anonymous executives say, hey, I hear he's moving up.
Team likes him. That team likes him. Had a great workout here. Had a great private workout. And, yeah, he'll move. He could move up. If he doesn't, the interesting thing for me becomes when you start to look at teams at the end of the draft, okay, there are teams that are picking. Green Bay has, you know, a pick at the end because they've got somebody's pick. They've got Aaron Rodgers. Kansas City's got Mahomes. LA's got Goff. Philly's got Wentz. There are a couple of teams at the end of the draft that could look at a Kyler Murray and say, I got Tom Brady. And I need a backup. I got Drew Brees. And I need a guy to develop behind Drew Brees and Tom Brady for a year or two. I'll take Kyler Murray here. Great value. Taking my guy here. So there are a couple of teams late in the first round, like New England and New Orleans, and there was one other team I read, and the Chargers.
Chargers.
With Philip Rivers, who could take Kyler Murray late in the first round. But if for some reason they don't and he falls to the second round, Cardinals could be in a great position with the number one pick in the second round, because that's where teams will be like, all right, he's not going to cost as much now. He's not going to cost me $15 million in guaranteed money to go get him right now.
And the Cardinals sitting with the top pick in the draft, as I'm just getting a little further right there. Thank you very much. The Cardinals sitting with the first pick in the second round are in a great, great spot. First of all, I think they're going to move off that spot. If Kyler Murray is there to open up the second day of the NFL draft, they're in a fantastic spot.
There's going to be a lot of calls. Get him with the first pick in the second round. So that would mean he'd have to slip a little bit. Instead of moving up on the big board, he'd have to slip a little bit.
Yeah. The Phoenix Suns, once again, facing an early game deficit. Could a new point guard make a difference for this team? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, let's talk about the Suns in a minute. They're trailing the Pacers by 15 points. About 9.5 to go in the second quarter. We'll talk about them and the latest on the point guard situation.
It's not bad news for the Pacers right now.
No, it's not. But I believe in you and Jordan and your ability to affect the outcome of Suns basketball games by yelling lines from the Bad News Bears. I believe in the power that you guys have to affect the outcome of these games.
We've got them to 7-9 in the last 16 games.
I'm sure.
And they didn't win any games when I was in Finland.
No, they didn't.
Ever since I came back, the mojo's back.
They're on a roll because what does it mean for the Pacers? It's bad news for the Pacers.
That's right.
Yeah. First, this story from the NFL that we're just now seeing. The Carolina Panthers. This is according to David Newton. He's an ESPN writer who covers Carolina for the network. The Panthers are keeping all options open concerning the sore right shoulder of quarterback Cam Newton, including the possibility of not having him available for 2019. New owner David Tepper said on Tuesday, quote, "If you told me he took a year off and could recover and be fully recovered and everything else, and that's what it took, an extra year, why wouldn't you do that? Now, we would have to do other things, right? We'd have to go out and get another quarterback. If you could find me some more cap space, I'd appreciate that," close quote. Newton was shut down the final two games. The strength in his throwing shoulder was down. He had surgery to repair that shoulder prior to the 2017 season. The organization has been in discussions with medical personnel on the best plan to strengthen the shoulder. And Gambo, here's the kicker. Whether that's with rest or another surgery.
Wow.
A second surgery opens the possibility Newton could miss a season just like Andrew Luck did in 2017 after undergoing surgery on his shoulder.
Shoulder surgeries are tough. That kid may be ready to replace him. The one in the Play 60 commercials, remember that was going to replace him? He might be old enough now. Remember the kid that was warming up his arm? Get active, dream big, play 60. Remember that kid? Someday he might be ready now. That was a while ago.
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you and play in the NFL and be drafted number one and become the starting quarterback of the Panthers.
How did you have that ready? How?
Just archive stuff.
I am shocked that I'm thinking and you're like, you found that.
I'm going to slow clap Jordan Bird for that one.
Yeah.
Bravo, Jordan.
That kid could be ready right now. That was a while ago. That kid's got to be ready.
He's probably a teenager by now.
Oh, remember, yeah, he's 20. Like loosening up his arm. And Cam Newton, actually, I'll give Cam Newton credit because he actually was a pretty good actor. Kind of gave him this look like, really?
Give me that sound again. Give me that again. You got that again?
And I'll grow up to be big and strong like you and play in the NFL and be drafted number one and become the starting quarterback of the Panthers.
That kid. How old's that kid now? He might be ready to play.
Chris was probably 4 years old. So the
kids, long older than that. That was when he was. He was a rookie
in the league. I don't know. Well, so we'll see. Now Andrew Luck did return this year. Of course,
he threw
39 touchdowns and played very, very well. But there were some real questions about his future, about his longevity with all the shoulder problems he was having. I had no idea it was that bad for Cam Newton.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it opens up a spot for like another team that could be looking for, you know, the veterans that are going to be out there, whether it's Bortles, Foles,
Flacco.
I mean, it could be a lot. Like, this is a good year for some of those veterans to hit the market because there's got a lot of teams that are going to be looking for them.
Yeah.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars, if Cam Newton's not going to be available for the year, I mean, they could look for an option like that. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's tough. It's a tough spot because you know, if you go get a Foles, Foles is going to want to go somewhere where he's the quarterback for a while. Flacco is going to go somewhere where you expect him. He's going to be quarterback for at least 3 years because that's what he's got left on his contract.
Yeah, you would think so. The Suns chipping a little bit. They're down only 11 with 7 minutes to go, 43-32. So maybe it is indeed bad news for the Indiana Pacers. This game is on ESPN 620 right now. And of course, Luke Lipinski is coming up with a rundown. He'll keep you completely updated.
Bonus coverage. Yeah, I'm staying on with Luke for the first segment. So
I was going to say, you're a special guest of Luke Lipinski. Yeah.
6 o'clock hour as you're driving home. I'm going to stay on with Luke and do a segment with him. We'll talk some Suns. We'll talk some other stuff. So, you know, with those people driving home in the 6 o'clock hour, I'll be on with Luke for a little bit.
So the big news of the day as it relates to the Suns was this Dennis Smith Jr. story that was first reported by Adrian Wojnarowski last night. And not like I'm trying to set up a you versus Woj kind of thing, but you and then others around the NBA country, if you will, kind of started reporting the same thing. Woj initially reported that Dennis Smith Jr. might be on the move soon and it might be Orlando or Phoenix. And you quickly jumped in and said, well, it's not Phoenix. I know it's not Phoenix.
He said to say they've exchanged conversations with the Suns, and that was his report. And I refuted the report. I said that's not true. Not that I have total respect for the guy. Does a great job nationally.
Yeah.
But locally here, I think we're pretty dialed in, and the Suns don't have interest in Dennis Smith Jr., and I put that out there pretty quickly.
And that report was followed up by a similar report out of Dallas, a similar report on AZ Central that all basically said the same thing, that the Suns are not interested. Now, the Suns still obviously are interested in finding a long-term point guard for this organization. There's no, just because it's not Dennis Smith Jr. doesn't mean that it's not going to be somebody. But it does feel like to both of us that over the last month or so, the pressing, urgent need to find a guy and do it like yesterday, that's kind of gone now. I'm not, maybe it's because Devin Booker and the fact that he's averaging 7 assists per game and they run a lot of the offense through him anyway, or even more short term than that, the way D'Anthony Melton has played the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, has kind of softened the need, the urgency to go find a point guard for the Suns.
There's no question. You're 100% right because of the development. D'Anthony Melton has developed, and they're focusing more on him than Eliakobo right now as the guy that they feel that they can develop. He's 6'4". He's a terrific defensive player. He's getting better at his passing. He doesn't need to score. And with all the scores that they have on the roster, they're not looking for a point guard that can score. Do they want to upgrade the point guard position? Absolutely. But they're not going to do anything stupid, you know, and anything desperate. They're going to roll with what they have at this point. And they, if you look at the Anthony Melton in November and then December and now in mid-January, is he getting better? Yes. Is he improving? Yes. Are they developing him? Yes. Is he a starting point guard, caliber point guard in the NBA? No. I mean, he's still, you know, he's still not there yet. He is starting in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's not what you would want as your starting point guard. They can do better than him, but he is developing and he's improving, and that's a good sign.
He could be. You don't know that he's not, but he's not now. And you won't know whether he's a starting caliber point guard in this league for a couple of more years. But as you've said many times, if you got a solid backup point guard in D'Anthony Melton for years to come, you've done very well for yourself.
He was like the 46th pick in the second round. Yep. If you get a good rotational player, like a top 8 or 9 player in your rotation with the 46th pick in the second round, and they traded for him, but he was a, you know, mid-second round pick. If that guy could last in the NBA as a backup point guard, that's a home run. That's what teams are looking for. Can I get a guy that could be a part of my rotation? Can I get a player that, yeah, because they're cost efficient. They don't cost a lot of money. They're young. I mean, they would hit a home run if this guy develops into a decent backup point guard.
And now, if he's more than that, great. But he doesn't have to be more than that to be a success. He doesn't have to. So we'll see what the trading deadline is February 7th. Boy, that's coming up. That's coming up.
Yeah, what's that, three weeks away?
I didn't really put that in any kind of context until now.
3 weeks away.
So it's not like, I mean, we used to talk about trades the Suns could make, and it was like some far-off thing, the deadline. I think it's February 7th. It's coming up quickly.
And we'll see if they do something. It might be more like free agency. But we'll see if they make any moves.
Yeah. We're out of here. A full edition of The Rundown with Luke Lipinski is next with special guest star John Gambadoro,
who's hanging around.
We're back tomorrow at 2 here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
I'd say goodnight, everybody, but I'm back for the next segment.
And I'll say goodnight, everybody.